You know, I just want to remind you about some things tonight. One of the things my dad always said was, people need to get to know who they are in Christ, and I call it redemptive realities. That's one of the subjects I teach at school. But actually, we were talking one day, and he said, really, you don't know how to be an authority believer, or somebody that you use the authority of the believer, until you really understand who you are in Christ. And that's the truth. And you know, and so I want to look at some of that tonight. Hey, everybody, hold up your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, hold up your device that's got it on it. I can do both. I got it. I got it in both places. I got a lot of translations on this one. That's what, all right, say this. I'm who the Bible says I am. I have what the Bible says I have. And I can do what the Bible says I can do. You know, back a long time before Jesus ever came to earth, the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 36, 26 said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Now you see, in the Old Testament, when Ezekiel was writing this, the Spirit of God did not live with inside of the people. The Spirit of God was tabernacled in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle. Back in the Ark of the Covenant. And after Jesus went to the cross, you see, up until Jesus went to the cross, then they had the Mosaic Law. And every year they had to make a sacrifice to cover their sins. It didn't redeem them. It simply covered their sin. But after Jesus died on the cross, the supreme sacrifice, aren't you glad that we live in a day when we don't have to make a sacrifice every year to make sure that we're okay? Yes. Amen. You know, but you have to study the Pauline epistles, and that's just the theological way of saying Paul's epistles. That in school, when I was in Bible school, that's what I took. I took a course called the Pauline epistles. And then I took a course called Johannine Literature, and that was just the books of John. So many of the colleges now take our credits. In fact, some of them give up the 40 hours college credit. A credit association one time went over our deal, and they said, man, this is a great course, but you got to change the title. And some of you might remember, I used to teach a course called Practical Ministry. Anybody remember that? Because I know I got a lot of you out there that did, who sat in those classes. And they said, you don't have to change anything. Just change the title to the Theology of Practical Ministries, and we can give credit for it. But, you know, it's in Paul's writings that we find out who we are in Christ. We find out we can live in peace. We find out all of the promises of God that are ours. You know, I remember way back, you know, when I was, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, traveling with Dad. And Dad would preach some of this stuff. And a lot of the people, and we were in Pentecostal churches too, and they sort of bucked at this because they had never heard anybody teach this. And the truth is, if we want to have a stable Christian life, we have to know who we are in Christ. If we want to live the abundant life that talks about there in John 10:10, then we have to discover and know that we have a new life in Christ. Now, everything we have And everything that we will receive comes to us because of what Jesus did at Calvary. You know, Christ hung on the cross was the fulfillment of the plan of God to redeem mankind. Now, we have to continue to affirm with our mouth or confess with our mouth the promises of God. We have to say all of these things. Now, let's look at something here, and we can see something. In Ephesians 1, Jesus is talking to us, and he says that all of heaven's blessings are ours. In Ephesians 1, 3, he says, "Blessed be the God of the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every," not some, not a few, "every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." You see, he has blessed us already. We're already blessed. My dad used to say, "Son, don't ever pray, God bless me. Pray, God make me a blessing." Because you're blessed. But if you learn how to bless somebody else, you'll be blessed. And then I want you to notice that here he talks of that we have been chosen. Just as he chose us in him, that's in Christ. We're talking about redemption realities, being in him. Before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before God. And then it says God adopted us. You see, we are adopted into the family of God through our spiritual regeneration in Christ Jesus. You go study in Galatians 3, chapter 3. It says, if you are in Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. Now, that's the spiritual seed. We're not the physical seed of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham. We become the spiritual seed through adoption, through our receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, Ephesians 5 sometimes can be a little hard for some people, because it says, having predestined us to adoption by son as sons of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I want to read that from the NLT. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to him through Jesus Christ. Now, and the complete Jewish Bible says, he determined in advance that through Yeshua, the Messiah, we would be his sons. Now, this is not saying what a lot of people try to say. This is not saying that he has predestined certain ones. What he is saying, he has predestined everyone that accept Jesus Christ. They will be adopted into the family. And you can go and check. I went to three different concordances this afternoon and then went to another deal it's called the Preacher's Gold Mine, and it's got several volumes, and it talks about everything, and every one of them talked about the fact that this is God saying that when you come through Christ, you can be adopted. In other words you're predestined to be in the family of God if you accept Jesus Christ, would be another way to say it. Okay, now it says we have been accepted. So anybody that feels like you're not accepted, forget about it. You've been accepted by God, and that's all that counts. Don't worry about it. You know? And then it goes on to tell that Christ redeemed us through his blood at Calvary. Ephesians 1:7, we have his redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin. And then he goes in verse 13 of this first chapter of Ephesians. He begins to talk to us about, we trusted in him. We heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, whom you have believed. You were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, these many scriptures here begin to tell us who we are in Christ. That tells us something about ourselves. You know, that would be like us talking in the natural. When you talk about yourself, you talk about your heritage, and people say, well, my parents and grandparents were this or that, and I can go back, and I go back to Drake, which was on my dad's mom's side. I remember Grandpa Drake. It was Dad's grandpa, my great-grandpa. And then they said that I think one of Grandpa's brothers or uncles or something way back had it had our heritage, and we go all the way back to. And anybody ever heard of this in the history book, Sir Francis Drake, in the history book? Yeah, some of you. Well, according to what they told us, that that's our heritage on that side. Okay, that's Drake's side. Okay, on the Hagen side, actually, I went to Ireland, and our name was O'Hagans. Hagens, H-A-G-N-I-S. Well, when they came to America, and if you'll do some study, you'll find out a lot of the immigrants that came, they changed their names, they dropped the O. And my grandmother, my dad's mom, she says, in fact, Uncle Dub, Dad's brother, he had a belt that had Hagens, H-A-G-I-N-S, on it. My grandmother told me that a couple of the brothers got in a fight, and so one of them dropped the S, and so it just become Hagen. And then after a while, everybody dropped the S, and it was just Hagen. So there's that side of it. That's the English side, the United Kingdom side. Well, I go to my mother's side, and Albert Harvey Rooker was my grandfather there. They called him Rebel, but anyway, that was his nickname. But anyway, it's R-O-O-K-E-R, which is the English spelling. If it would have been a German spelling, it'd have been R-U-C-K-E-R. And then on my mom's side, her maiden name was McCormick. So my heritage goes all the way back to the England and the English Isles and all that. That'd be my heritage. And you see, that's what we're talking about here. Our heritage spiritually through Jesus Christ, through coming, we become a part of the family of God through Abraham. Remember, it says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. We believe Jesus Christ and received him. It's accounted to us for righteousness, and we come into the family that way. How many understand what I'm talking about today? Okay, now, you know, we have to know what is possible for us in this new life if we're going to take advantage of it. Hello? If you don't know about something, you can't take advantage of it, even though it is yours. Hello? You know, we all know this scripture. We quote it all the time. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, as we look into that, we begin to see that we become a new person in Christ Jesus. Okay, how did all that happen? Well, Paul tells us in Galatians 2:20 that happened. It says, I have been, talking about us, you, me, have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, hey, we're not wanting to be or going to be. Our past life has been crucified. and now we have new life. So many people, even good Christian people, people that have been born again for years, they still have a struggle with this. Because, oh, you know what I did? I was so bad. It was so bad. Doesn't make any difference. That when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that was crucified on that cross, and you were raised to new life, just like he was raised to new life when he come out of that tomb. And that's what water baptism is all about. You've already, it's already something that's happened to you, but you were telling everybody, I died with Christ and I'm raised to a new life, and the old life doesn't exist anymore. So quit thinking about it. Quit letting it bother you, because it doesn't exist. Only the enemy has a photocopy of it, and he brings it to you to try to condemn you and get you out of doing what God wants you to do and receiving all the blessings that God wants you to receive. Hello? You need to tell him, take your junk and get out of here and do like my dad used to do. Give him a swift kick. Anybody ever seen Brother Hagin do that? I've seen him do it many, many times ever since I was a little kid. Okay? You know, now, Christ was made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. We are already justified. We have been made free from sin and death. We are the children of God, and you need to confess that. Say, I'm a child of God. Hello? Let the devil know that you know who you are. Hello? You know, I tell this story all the time, but Denise was about five, I think. And she was running down the hall over there. My office is down here and Dad's office up there. And at that particular time, now it's in a different place now because we redid the building. But she was running down the hall, and there's somebody, one of the employees back then said, little girl, quit running in the hall. And she whirled around and she said, do you know who I am? And then took off running. That's what we need to do when the devil starts bringing all this mess back to us. We need to look at him and say, hey, do you know who I am? And then turn around and go on and do what God's got us doing. Hallelujah. I know you know a lot of this, but as I was going, I know it. I've taught it for a few years now. I've been teaching at Rhema since it started in 74, so I've been teaching at Rhema a long time. But you know, I got excited about this. We need to revamp some of the, rehash some of this sometimes and get just as excited about being born again right now as we did 15 years ago when we got born again, or 20 years or 25, however many it was, or two if it's only been two. We need to stay excited about who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ, and we need to continually confess these things. You know, to receive salvation, you had to confess him as Lord and Savior, right? Well, you know what? Your confession didn't end there. Some people, that's the extent of it. But let me tell you what. My dad said this in his little book, In Him. He says, a spiritual law to too few of us realize is our confession rules us. Our confession rules us. Now let's break that down a little bit. Our confession rules us. Well, let's go back, and I'm going to jump ahead of myself. But look at Mark 11. What you say or what you believe and say is what you get. Did you know if you say something long enough, you will actually believe it? That's a fact. I studied that, and when I studied in some of my psychology courses in college, they said that if a person confesses something that long enough, you can give them a lie detector test and it will not show that it's a lie because they actually believe it. They really believe it. You know what? If that's so in the natural, let me tell you what. Keep confessing this word until it's so much a part of you that nothing can take it away from you or come against it. Hallelujah. You know, we need to confess who we are in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. We're not trying to be, wanting to be, hoping to be. We are. We are. I tell people all the time, you need to say every day, you need to say it every day, sometime during the day, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. When you say that enough, you will mentally begin to believe it. And when the enemy comes to your mind telling you this, that, and the other, you immediately say, reject it and say, I reject that. I am the righteousness of in Christ. You don't know what you're talking about. Hello? We need to learn to turn a deaf ear when the enemy starts bringing all kinds of thoughts to our lives. Now, some say, well, you're different. No, I'm not. I have thoughts come to me all the time. The enemy attacks me just like he does you. But I take what I'm talking about tonight, what I'm preaching about, and I use it against him. I was brutally reminded of this years ago. Craig was about 10 or 12 years old. I'm laying in the bed griping and complaining and sick. And he just comes in and says, Dad, why don't you live by what you preach? I immediately got up. Now, I was sick, but then I was griping and complaining about other stuff, too. I immediately got up. I immediately changed my confession. Hey, let me tell you what. I don't care what your name is. I don't care how much faith you have or don't have. The enemy is going to attack you. And it's what comes out of your mouth, whether you're going to live the new life, the good life, or live over here on the other side. Now, it's not easy in the middle of the enemy attacking to begin to say, and these things, I'm the righteous of God in Christ. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm the head and not the tail. I can't go under for going over. It's not easy to say all that in the middle of the fight. But that's what you got to do to get yourself built up. Hello? You know, a coach said you got to think you can before you can. And he was telling us, and he said, you got to think you can beat the other guy. I just was watching some of the Olympics, especially the track. That's all I really like to care about because I ran track. And I want to tell you what. I don't care if this guy over here, Johnny Racehorse, whatever his name is, I don't care how fast he ran that 220-yard dash. I don't care what Joe over here did. When I stepped between those lanes and I got in that starting block, as far as I was concerned, and I kept telling me this, there wasn't nobody that could outrun me. And I looked up the world record for the 220 yard dash, not the 200 meter, 220 yard dash. In 1956-57, it was 22 point something another. And as a high school junior, I ran a 23 flat. So I could move. I could, as the old saying now, I could pick them up and put them down. But you know what? I had to run my race. I didn't think about anybody else. Now, I said that because I run funny. They call me the Kimmel. That was my nickname. All of us got nicknames because of the frog, because he's short and he. But when I run, my feet come out like this. I'm serious. And you're supposed to run like this. Well, coach said, okay, now, Hagan, I want you to concentrate on bringing your legs up behind you like that. And so I was concentrating on that. And I normally would run the 100, and I didn't run it in regular track meet. I ran the 220 and 88 relay. Somebody else ran the 100, but we're just practicing. I normally run it. Oh, 10 flat was the best I ever done, but most of the time I would do, you know, 10-5, something like that. Well, I ran it, it was 13 flat. And he said, try it again. I tried it again, and I did get up to 12-5. He said, Hagan, forget about that. Just run. Sometimes we've heard this, that, or the other. We need to forget about that and just begin to say what the Word of God says out of our mouth. Forget about what Joe said or John said or Humpty Dumpty said. It doesn't make any difference. Hello. Anybody getting anything out of this tonight? I better wind this up, you know. You just need to keep confessing who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do because you're in Christ. Keep knowing and believing that all things are possible for you in this new life. Keep confessing that everything that God said is mine, I can have. And position yourself to receive all the benefits. Hello. Everybody stand up. It's 7:57. 3 minutes and I'm supposed to be through. Okay? All right, say this. I am crucified with Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm a member of God's family. I'm an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I have the peace of God. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. I'm chosen in Christ. I'm adopted by Christ. I'm accepted by Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I am justified by faith. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. And I can do what the Bible says I can do. And I can have what the Bible says I can have. And I can be what the Bible says I can be. Because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, did you just say that because I asked you to, or did you say it because you believe what you're saying? Put your hands up and thank God for who you are in Christ, what you have because you're in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, trust you got something out of that little teaching tonight. You know, when I was in Bible school, I was a freshman. I remember it well. The boys' dorm was like a W. It had a wing up here and then three wings, you know, a wing going here and a wing going here and a wing going here. It had the bottom. Well, in the front wing, right in this corner of the front wing, was the prayer room. Bunch of us in there praying one night, and we got through praying, and we just sitting around talking. And I told them, I'm a freshman. I said, you know, the thing I always hated about Wednesday night is you go there, and you're there half the night, and really wasn't nothing happening. I said, if I ever have a church and pastor a church, We're going to have Hour of Power on Wednesday night. Well, I said that would have been September of 1958. I think that's before Shuler ever started Hour of Power. I'd never heard of Hour of Power. It just came out. So when I started Wednesday night service, we had Hour of Power, and that's what we got. It's Hour of Power. Amen. And that way everybody gets home at a decent hour, and kids can get to homework and get everything and get to bed, get ready for tomorrow. But hey, if you happen to be with us tonight and you can't get in on all of this stuff that I'm talking about, this good stuff, and you'd like to, all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Or if you're like some people that, you know, they start out with Christ, but then they start to take a detour and get off course and they need to come back and rededicate their life. If that's you, as we're dismissed tonight, the ladies are here, the men are over here. If you'll come down here and talk with them, they will pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, any reason, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you want to pray for healing, you want prayer for anything, the prayer partners will be great, ready to pray for you. So as we're dismissed, you come on down here, turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I know who I am in Christ. And you're dismissed Sunday morning right here, 10 o'clock. Hey, connection team, find those first-time guests and take them to the get a something back there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See y'all Sunday morning right here.